We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, and we welcome to the program right now, Ian Eagle. I think of all I have to say is Ian, without even giving a last name.
Steve, there are so few guarantees left in life. There's death, there's yes. taxes,
yes,
and there will be an appearance on your holiday show every year by yours truly. And yes. the other guarantee, I will get sauced before the appearance.
First of all, I know you're going to be doing, Pat, just I asked Pat to ask you, you're doing the Carolina-Washington game,
yes.
and it's no longer going to be at 1 p.m., and you could tell us why.
Yeah, the NFL is looking to maximize the best they can, not just an audience, but intrigue. So with Philadelphia, Dallas playing in the late window, the Giants playing in the early window, they want to make sure these games mean the most when they're being played. So that game got shifted to the afternoon just to create a little more interest and to keep eyeballs on the screen. That's a big part of the equation here, Steve.
And it is true, is it not, Ian, that if Washington wins this game, Philadelphia and Dallas are eliminated, correct?
Yeah, really, what they need is a Washington loss. Both teams are looking for the Giants to lose as well. Mm-hmm. A Giants loss, a Washington win, and this thing is over. Amazingly enough, a team that was in such a deep hole, the Washington football team, we did not presume that they would be in the mix at this point of the year. And here they are with a chance to win the division. It's pretty incredible.
And the bottom line is with the New York Football Giants are going to be starting Daniel Jones, as you know. And, and you wonder if Daniel Jones, yes, he's going to be starting the game. You wonder if he's going to be able to finish the game because some questions are there about how healthy he really is.
Yeah, just watching some of the tape from his previous start, it didn't look like him. It didn't look comfortable. Didn't look like he had the same pop. Certainly didn't have the mobility that you've grown accustomed to with Daniel Jones. But here we are in week 16 of the regular season, and the Giants are in must-win mode, and I'm sure Daniel Jones is trying to do his part in any way, shape, or form. So they've got to make that determination during the week. Washington's in a similar situation, Steve. Alex Smith is not 100%, didn't play last week in the loss to Seattle. He's got a calf injury. We know the horrific leg injury that he came back from, truly one of the most inspirational stories I've ever seen in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins has had some off-the-field issues this week. He's had to apologize. He's been fined. He's been stripped of his captain's role, and he may end up starting this game for the Washington football team with a potential playoff spot on the line.
Stripped of his captaincy after being in a strip club.
Yes, let's get to maybe the brass tacks. He claims it was not a strip club. It was a private function where strippers were invited. So, Steve, that's really up to you, how you want to categorize it. It's your show. I would never intrude on that.
And of course, we know about James Harden also. What is it about athletes who want to be traded or just are not following either team rules or protocols, or what with the pandemic? What is it that they all head to strip clubs?
I think I think if you look at a list of how to get traded, somehow strippers are top three in some order. So it looks like guys that determine that their future is no longer in the city that they're currently in, they're just trying to find a reason to get out of Dodge.
What was your reaction when the Jets beat the Rams?
I think my reaction was like so many out there in the New York tri-state area of, really? Now? This is when you decided to play your best game of the season? Look, Steve, you've been around this a long time. You try to make predictions. You speculate as to what's best for a team. Mm-hmm. The reality in the NFL, more than any other sport, it's nearly impossible to tank. NFL players are programmed to go out there to hit hard, to play hard, and they're not worried about the next season. Most of these guys will not even be on this roster. The coaching staff will not be here. So their main focus was to win a game. You work so hard in the NFL during the week to get to Sunday to play. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I never thought for a moment that this team would automatically go 0-16. I thought at some point the law of averages work in your favor, and there's a reason why only a couple of teams have taken an over in NFL history. So it happened to be the Jets week, and I know Jets fans are currently upset, but let's see how this whole thing plays out in the last couple of weeks and obviously moving into the offseason and the decisions that they have to make, a lot of big ones.
What one of those decisions going at number two, unless Jacksonville is going to lose a game among their next two, and what is it, they're playing the Bears and they're playing Indianapolis, so
yep.
Not real likely that they would lose or win a game against either of those two teams who are, of course, in the playoff hunt. At the bottom line, if you were Joe Douglas, and again, we're all guessing and speculating and rumorizing, what should the Jets do with Sam Darnold? Do you hold on to him? Do you at number two draft another quarterback? Do you move down in the draft? Do you keep Sam Darnold and with the number two pick? Do you pick somebody from another position, an edge rusher, somebody who is a playmaking, dynamic wide receiver? What would you do with number two if that's really where the Jets are going to be and it looks like they are?
Yeah, Steve, admittedly, I've seen more of Lawrence than I've seen of Fields and Wilson, the other two quarterbacks that have come up in conversation. So I'm definitely not in a position to say, oh, I got to tell you, Fields is a can't-miss prospect or Wilson's a can't-miss prospect. What I've seen from Lawrence, he appears to be the real deal. He has every attribute that you look for, big, strong kid. He's got leadership qualities. He's a winner. Certainly has all the physical things that you try to check the boxes for and has a presence about him and has that it factor. That's why everybody's going gaga over him for the number one pick. The other two, I just personally have not seen enough. I think ultimately the decision that you make is based on what you've determined behind the scenes in your assessment of Sam Darnold. The whole point of Adam Gase being the head coach of the Jets was to help develop Darnold, was the quarterback whisperer reputation that he had in previous stints with Denver and with Chicago and obviously in Miami, although Ryan Tannehill has had more success without Adam Gase than he did with him. So if you're Joe Douglas, this is the decision that is going to define your tenure as the GM of the Jets. There's no doubt about it. They got a lot of picks. They have a lot of cap space. It's an attractive situation to be in, but you got to know that the quarterback is locked down. You better be convinced that Sam Darnold is your guy. If you're not, then you're probably going to use that pick at the quarterback position, either look to trade Darnold, not get a whole lot in return. You're probably looking at a fourth-round pick, something in that nature, fifth-round pick, and you accept that this is going to be a new iteration of your franchise.
Ironic that it turns out that Adam Gase needs to be developed. Maybe maybe more than the quarterback. Let's talk a little bit about with the Nats. No, I mean, no rust. I was watching the game the other night. No rust at all. After 18 months of tweeting, Kevin Durant looked in pretty good shape. And you know what? It's come to me, Ian, about Irving. I think there is something to what he said about the world being flat, because maybe to him, his world is playing basketball and a court and the floor is flat.
Hold on, let me write this down for Monday night, my first broadcast. This would be terrific in the open. Steve, first of all, let me say that it's a little surreal for me to be on the air with you.
Yes.
And you asking me a question in regards to the Nets.
Yes.
And there was no mocking. You believe, you're starting to believe that this team could actually be a legitimate contender in the NBA this year. You did not say the Brooklyn Nets. You did not say the New Jersey Nets. You said the Nets. So that, to me, is progress right out of the gate. I think Nets fans right now, Evan Roberts in particular,
yes,
is asking the question,
yes,
are we allowed to have nice things? Is this real life? This is what's happening right now for Nets fans, and they have to get accustomed to the idea that they're going to be a talking point throughout the season in the NBA. They're not just a New York team. They are now a national story around the league. They looked very sharp. I'm so sorry about the win over the Warriors, the team that you grew up rooting for, Steve.
No.
But this... No. This
never,
group.
Never a fan of that team.
Is that
serious.
True?
Yeah.
You were not a fan of the Warriors?
No, not even when they had Rick Barry. No, and when they won a title, and I was working in Sacramento at the time and had to cover that team, and I got suspended for a couple of days because of the comments.
Really?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Long
what,
story.
Did you had something nasty to say about Al Addles?
Al Addles had the deepest voice I've ever heard.
Yes.
In my lifetime. But I didn't like Rick Barry for a lot of reasons. And I went over this on a couple of occasions on the air, but not recently, when I was just getting started in the business. And he was playing on a radio station's basketball team as a ringer. But I could tell that story at another time. And
but,
we haven't got. Well,
but Steve, Rick
yes.
was so humble.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, very, very grounded. Very, very, very selfless. And one, he would like to spend time with us right now, showing us and telling us how to go about shooting free throws underhanded.
I did work with Brett Barry, Rick's son, on TNT for a couple of years,
right.
A delightful person, one of the nicest human beings I've ever worked with. So
yeah.
I think Rick's first wife did an excellent job with Brett.
And of course, Barry, with because of Bruce Hale. His father-in-law left the team to go into with the Nets. And,
are you talking about the skipper?
Oh,
that's Alan Hale. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Gilligan
Island. Who is the coach of this? Who is the coach of this Brooklyn Nets team? Is it Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, or Kyrie Irving? Or is it all three?
Everybody. That's the thing, Steve. This is kumbaya now.
That's it.
Everybody's involved. This is a collaborative process. Steve, in all seriousness, they are really talented. They are very deep. I think that's the one area that has gotten less attention because of the Durant and Kyrie marquee value. But if you noticed anything in that first game, they played 15 guys. Everybody played well
when they
checked into the game. That's a very good sign moving forward.
Yeah, both of the superstars played 25 minutes each. And
yep.
Irving, what did he have, 17 in the first quarter? I think he had something like 17. He could have had another 50-point night.
Yeah, it was very effortless for them.
And do you think, by the way, because we're this close with the game being this close to Christmas, that the Warriors were doing the appropriate thing by bringing a wise man?
I don't understand.
maybe as the new Messiah. Let me ask you something. Maybe there will be a few players-only meetings if the egos on the team don't get along with each other. Do you think the Leverts and the Harrises and the Allens and the Dinwiddies, do you think they will be accepting what adjustments they have to make and what new roles they will have to play with the two superstars on the team?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's because they know they have a chance to win a championship. This is not just a team that's trying to come together and see where the chips fall. They understand how it works in the NBA. You have to have the horses to win a title, and they do. So the big picture, if you want to be a part of this thing, Joe Harris got paid, Caris LeVert got paid, mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie got paid. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to get paid again. It may not be by the Nets. It might be by some other team. But the best thing he can do for his career is be a part of this, and if they win the whole thing, everybody reaps the benefit in the long run.
Somebody called right before we had you on, the last call we had, right before taking you on a little while ago, wanted to know why, with the Brooklyn Nets being so good and so much negative and so much bad with the New York Knickerbockers, why the Knickerbockers were really the team of New York City and not Brooklyn.
Well, I think the Knicks have the history, and you have so many fans that have been taught by their predecessors that you go out and root for the Knicks. You grew up in a New York Knicks family. But the problem for the Knicks right now, and this really isn't about the Nets versus the Knicks, I think the Nets made the best decision of all when they hired Sean Marks, and his mantra coming in, and this whole regime was, hey, we're not concerned about the Knicks. We're concerned about winning an NBA title, becoming a best-in-class team. The problem for the Knicks right now is that 15 years have gone by, and they've had one winning team for the most part over that span, that Carmelo Anthony year with Mike Woodson as the head coach. So now generations have shifted, and you have 15-year-olds that grew up in New York and look around and say, hey, I haven't experienced any kind of consistent winning basketball. And that's probably why the Nets will begin to get a fan base, and it's developed already. I've seen it over the last 5 or 6 years. It's definitely picked up compared to when the Nets moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn. There's definitely been an uptick in my experience.
Yeah. Let me ask, and then I'll let you go. When you were working at WFAN,
yes,
and you were the engineer, the board operator.
Yeah, no, I took a lot of pride in that, yes.
I think you did, as he drips a little bit with the sarcasm. Did you think then that you would be where you are now?
I thought that I would get a chance down the road. I had no idea how the chance would happen. I just knew that I was in the right place. I knew that WFAN was the right place for me. Everybody was talking sports. Everybody was committed to making it the best station in the country. It was still early in the history of the station, so I got in 1989 as an intern. And the passion in the newsroom, as you know, Steve, and you would come in later at night, and I would come up with an excuse to go upstairs to the vending machines just to pass by you, to watch you work, to watch the master at work with his yellow legal pad. And we'd exchange pleasantries, and I think you would placate my curiosity. But it was just being in that environment. By osmosis, I was learning. So I did feel confident that whatever I was taking in, I was going to be able to use one day in some form. And my hope was that it would be on the air. Can I ask you a question? Because you always get to ask me questions.
Yeah, sure.
What was your backup plan, Steve?
Sleeping a lot. And here's the thing, because you're so seamless and so at ease, such an aptitude for both basketball play-by-play and football play-by-play. I'm just wondering if ever early in your play-by-play with the basketball and the football, that you have ever called as somebody takes a three-point shot in an NBA game, making it, and you yell out, touchdown.
Yes, it happened twice. I burned the tapes. I think, though, that is somehow this one fear that I have when you do the crossover,
sure,
that you're going to have Aaron Rodgers on a layup. Like, that's not good for anybody. So I definitely try to delineate and compartmentalize.
You know, because I couldn't imagine, you know, because the lingo obviously is a little bit different with each sport. And Aaron Rodgers, it could be a layup.
Yep.
For him, being as good as he is and being as successful as he's been his entire career, it's, his career has been somewhat of a layup. You can almost get along by even saying something like that with a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
You're good, Steve. You're good. You're good.
Yeah. Listen, I know you think very highly of me, and I
do.
I'll let you go, and I can't thank you enough. Have a good broadcasting season ahead of you with both football and, of course, with the Nats. And it's Carolina and Washington coming up for you. And just have a good broadcast, and have a happy new year, the whole thing, Ian.
Steve, I love you. I don't say that lightly. It's true. And do you want to book me for next year now? How do you want that to work?
There was a time, I think things are getting better, there was a time when you would say at the end of the interview, lose my number.
Either that, I would say, or I'd say, hey, this is great. When do we do the actual interview?
All right, listen, I mean, you have one of the genes in your body is from your father, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, the best. Ian, always the best, and wish the family, everybody, a happy new year for me.
And the same to you, Steve. Truly, great talking to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.